Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Friday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 5th. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. You know, we are at that annual time of year where my nerves are setting in. I'm nervous that one of my takes is just going to blow up in my face next week.
Which take is that?
The Just a Guy take, you know, the Just a Guy. This every year, right around this time, I just get super nervous about
Just a Guy,
Jordan Spieth winning the Masters and the internet just dragging me through the coals.
Just a guy who you happen to talk about on this podcast more than any other professional golfer, maybe not named Rory McIlroy. He can't be just a guy. He's on your mind and he's top of mind. He's in your head. He can't be just a guy, given how much you talk about him. And this is the whole point. It's the whole point. He's weighing on you. He's got you on the fritz. He's got you.
I think he gets the cut when I pick him. Every time I pick him and one and done in these like nothing burger events that you think a legend superstar should be able to dominate, he misses the cut. And here we are. We're on the eve of the Masters. He shoots whatever 76 or whatever he shot today.
He had a hole in one. Shot very exciting.
Or 73. Shot 73 with a hole in one. And I'm terrified of next week. I've somehow wrapped myself into where I've gotten terrified.
Really?
A month ago, I had no fear. I'm like, this guy stinks. He's just a guy.
I watched a little Spieth today, and I was trying to think of what I would say to you tonight. I was like, I mean, would you be more surprised or less surprised if he finishes T30? Top 30. I shouldn't say T30. Top 30 next week.
Oh, he's got to finish in the top 30.
I feel like I would be surprised if he didn't. Yet, here he is, he's a pedestrian. He's just a pedestrian out there walking around the course. His play is pedestrian. He says he's driving the piss out of the ball, which should put you on there on unease, should have you anxious about. I'll tell you what, a little blowback on take I put out there.
About the
2019 Masters,
yeah.
Actually not
terrible.
Good. So get out of here. Actually, I got a lot of support for that too, and his blowback too. I said this Sunday as a whole.
Preposterous take.
No,
it was absolutely.
No. Tiger had some lags. Frank Molinari in the middle of an all-time heater and an otherwise fine but not unremarkable career hits it in the water, and that was it.
You're crazy. Like, the idea of that being not great Masters.
It is a great result, a
Tiger,
great finale.
Tiger out
great.
Of nowhere.
It was all-time. I'll remember it forever. I was there. It was great.
You had the woman eating kitty litter, too.
I don't think that year.
That year, that Masters Yum. Delivered the security guard slide tackling Tiger.
Well, that was Friday. Friday was an all-time. A lot of people say it's the greatest shotgun start episode of all time. I'm not into self-analysis like that.
We had the balloons.
Moises
Alou.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that took a dive, like hit the ball and spun and fell down?
Happy Barn Rat. Kiradesh is rolling around on the ground. I mean, he had a bum knee. He just took a tumble. He's rolling down the hill. That was an all-time
day. I can't believe you brought that Masters.
I got
into
some blowback on
you
that.
You know
one.
What? You know what it is?
Trying to be provocative here.
You're getting high on your own supply. You got Cutthroat Corner rolling every week. You're going in and you're putting everything under a microscope. And that one just, you can't put it under a microscope. Unequivocally, it was one of the greatest masters of all times. Of all time.
I don't think I'm putting it under a microscope. We were talking about Sunday drama, movement, a lot
it
of
was
like...
a ton of drama. There was a ton of drama. There, it looked like Brooks Koepka was going to run away with it. Finau rinses it. Molinari on the front nine. It's like, this guy won't stop making pars. Like, please just stop. And then he cracked. And it was just the most quintessential Tiger tournament of all time, where he didn't really seemingly do anything spectacular, and everybody fell apart around him.
The best shot was a lag putt on 9. It was amazing to watch. I mean, his tee shot on 16 was a dramatic moment too. So
having had that lag putt on 9, humble brag.
Get the hell out of here with that. Fuck out of here with that.
That might be the hardest putt in the fucking world.
Yeah. It's a tough putt. It's amazing. That was my shot of the day. Shot of the year.
Well, no, the second shot on 15 was extraordinarily great.
Sure.
It was just Tiger Woods in a nutshell. It was it was everything about like just the perfect.
Why are we doing this? I know.
I don't think like that was his target, and he hit it absolutely perfect on the most demanding shot on the golf course. I think it's preposterous. I mean, Brooks had putts on 17 and 18. Remember,
it's
he had terrible putts on 17 and 18.
It's a little sad what's happened to that 15th shot. I know it's gotten a little tougher than they moved the tee back, I should say. Someone tagged us into Jack Nicklaus and whatever. Something like the decision. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was like, oh my god, I'm never gonna see anything like that for the rest of the next 5 years. Like the decision, the execution.
You should ask Bryson about it. How do you think Augusta would play with the Nike One? You should ask him next week.
You seen Anthony Kim yet? We're gonna have quote roundup Friday. We're gonna rip through quotes. Anthony Kim just laying bare. Bryson's got to be on the fritz again, listening to Anthony Kim talk about the drivers when he left and what they are now. It's like, oh. You just don't even have to hit in the center of the face anymore. It just goes straight and goes forever. Kind of another damning insane bit of testimony. So we're playing the hits. 2019 Masters, just a guy. You know, I doubted my take. CBS released their promo for some special they're running next year. And I was like, I mean, that's a good promo. That's a bad take to say 2019 Sunday. Sunday, again, not the result, not the winner, all-time deal, but might be a bad take. So how are you feeling? How are you feeling about Spieth versus Rory? Rory's going to see Butch. I gotta say, I unplugged all day Wednesday. Went to a little kids' day, but took my kids somewhere.
I heard you were at the Great Wolf Lodge. I'm sorry to reveal. What was it like?
What do you
mean
you heard? I texted you.
Great Wolf Lodge for the first time. You said it was your first time there. I've never.
Of course,
been.
It was. I've never been to a water park in my life. It's not my thing. I don't think. I don't know.
Can you give us a little insight? 1-on-4, 4 kids, 1 adult at a water park. What did you do?
My kids are off for Easter break. I'm going out of town for 10 days. I figured, you know, I would take them 1-on-4. My wife, she's got work. I just like, I'm going to take them out. What can I do? Real quick. There's this Great Wolf Lodge an hour away. I'm like, shit, they just want to go to a hotel, swim, the weather's not been nice. I was either going to go downtown to a nice hotel with a dinky pool or just go hard the other way. And I went to the Great Wolf freaking Lodge an hour and a half away. I mean, it was interesting. It was my kids had a blast. An interesting scene. You just
like
try not to think about.
Was it busy? Midweek.
It was so crowded. Just bodies everywhere. It was so crowded. You try not to think about what's in the water. My kids just were flying. They had fun. It was an interesting scene. I can see why they do well. I can see why they do well, you know, with these indoor water parks. There's just an outlet. A lot of people I couldn't believe it, though.
You think
it was
we should
ridiculous.
Get in the indoor water park game?
Just
that should be our
women,
next venture.
women throwing down high noons at like 10:30 in the morning on a Wednesday at a water park. I couldn't believe it. I'm just trying not to lose one of my four children. You know, it was just an interesting deal.
But I'll tell you what.
It broke up the week.
I think that, you know, something, your life changes and you like lose a little bit of you know, your younger years and what you used to do. Mm-hmm. We got a nail in our tire on the way to the airport back from vacation. And like our only other flight option was for like, it was like a 9 p.m. flight. We got a toddler in the back. We're trying to deal with this tire. It was an ordeal. It was a disaster. And we were changing our flight. And my wife's like, we're not taking that 9 o'clock flight. Like we got a 3-year-old, like there's nothing good's going to happen.
Yeah.
With this. So we checked into like a resort with a pool.
Oh.
And took the flight the next day.
Oh.
And I mean, I had a lot of cocktails, like in the middle of the day. I had the kid. This was before I watched the Illinois get drubbed by UConn.
Yeah.
But we just like, it was amazing. It was so great. There's something about outdoors in a pool. It was a release. We got to take the car finally taken care of, and we both just hit it.
That's great. It's the little joys that kind of transit, you go from one, you know, age group to the next. What gets, you know, what does it for you? Fills up the tank, I suppose.
Now the next day we kind of were like, why did we do that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I may have staph infection by the mat. I don't know. My kids may. Who knows what happened? But we got through it. I unplugged all day Wednesday, and I'm getting texts about this Butch Harmon thing. I honestly, sometimes I love when like big news just or people things that are causing a lot of news and takes and tweets, and I'm just never a part of it. It could be golf related. Whatever was going on with Kate Middleton prior to her reveal that shit, like I had no idea. We were in Ireland. There's something going on with the photos. Didn't have no clue what was going on there. And in the end, I think I came out good on that one.
I wanted to ask you about Otani too. I wanted to ask you your take on Otani.
What, gambling or translator gambling?
Do you think the guy just got thrown under the bus?
I mean, I think that. There was video evidence of them just hamming it up. And then like 3 hours later, he's just thrown off the side of a cliff. They're in the dugout. They look like best of buddies. And then he's being thrown off the, that was pretty damning. I don't know. So just unplugging the worked out on the middle, like, you know, a lot of people have bad takes about whatever happened. The Rory stuff, no clue. Just, it seemed like there was a lot of aggregation and reports and counter reports. I never bothered to follow up. He saw Butch Harmon. Is that's all we have? That was the big deal? Is he officially with Butch Harmon now? It doesn't seem like that's the case.
It's I think he goes like once a year.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a new thing.
Why was there so much? I got all these texts and
I don't understand. What's the fascination? Honestly, what's the fascination with coaches in golf? And caddies in golf.
Like, you're taking a victory lap on your bones.
Neither of these guys. I have respect for these guys. Okay. I respect them. But they aren't hitting the freaking golf shots. The players are hitting the shots.
Yeah.
It's like, I bet Butch Harmon's a great person to go get a lesson from. I think Rory said something like one of the great things, he's seen everything. He knows how to communicate with people. And sometimes you just need somebody to say something that you're trying to do in a different way that makes you feel something a little bit differently. And it's like the exact thing you're working on, but somebody else says something that clicks and makes your body move the way that you're trying to get it to move because they say something differently. But like this whole fascination, obsession of, oh, he's seeing this coach now. He's going to watch out. He's going to win 7 majors. Oh, Oh, Bones is on the bag. Bones is on the bag. It's nobody's going to be able to beat him. Like, just because a caddy or a coach works for one player does not guarantee that that caddy or coach is going to work out great for another player. These are mutually exclusive events. They are... Bones can be the greatest caddy in the world for Phil Mickelson. I tend to believe that Phil Mickelson was one of the greatest players of all time, and Bones might have been just Ernie. Like along the ride.
Yeah.
But, well, like, I think, like, I think, and I don't want to discredit Bones, but, like, one guy's hitting the shots and one guy's giving yardages. Like, it's completely different, and I don't want to. I grew up caddying. I love caddies. But, like, we cannot get to this, like, level of, like, this guy, no caddy is going to be great for everybody. Great caddies are super individual. Like, it's so individual. I think if I had Bones, like, being like, whoa, no, did you think about this? It would drive me fucking insane.
I think it's time and place and circumstance and people that have to line up. And, you know, the effect of a caddy can be multiplied based on that. But it's not due to the caddy. I think, personally, having observed Scheffler and Teddy Scott, it seems like Ted Scott has done something for Scheffler. Now, is Scotty Scheffler the greatest ball striker in the world because of Ted Scott? No, that's not the case, to your point. But it seems to have had an impact in terms of propelling his career to a different place.
It's like there's like a symbiosis with those two. Now, if you took Ted Scott and gave him 2021 Grayson Murray, that wouldn't have worked. That pairing would have worked. Ted Scott's a great caddy. But that wouldn't have worked out well.
Reading Bible verses while Grayson Murray's talking about his night out at the saloon. I don't think that mesh.
So the point of this whole thing is coaches, caddies. It's about their personality, their style matching up with the player. This guy's a god and he can do everything. He's going to make everybody better. A lot of people, that same person that made somebody better, a lot of times that person will make a different personality worse.
Where do you land on mental coaches? Because, boy, do I have some breaking news for you.
About Wyndham Clark?
No. I know we're a preeminent gambling podcast. All your handicappers out there, just knock this on your card for the Masters. Write this note down. Tweeting publicly, Paul Tesori, a certain caddy, we're caddies, we love caddies, at someone named Izzy Justice. I don't know. It sounds like a name in a some sort of law, scripted law drama show, or maybe David Justice's older brother. Izzy Justice. David tweet. Justice, great. My name is Paul Tesori, and I caddy for Tom Kim. Would you be available to talk with us via FaceTime before the Masters?
Izzy Justice.
Whoops. That doesn't sound like good things are in a great place with Thomas the Tank. Oh, it's deleted now. The tweet's deleted. Oh, it's in my text, but it's now read into the record. Paul Tesori. Anyways, mental coaches, caddies. Do you make anything of the Bones JT split? Do you make anything of the Rory Butch? Like, I just think it's, you know, looking for a change. JT is going to have Matt Minister on his bag, you know, formerly of Patrick Cantlay and many others. The timing, I think, is a little peculiar. He hasn't been playing great, but we're also about to hit the majors season. So the timing is a little odd, but I don't know. I don't know if it's the biggest deal in the world.
When things aren't going well, you make changes or you're not happy. You know, like, it's like anything. Like, it's like if you got diagnosed with like some knee injury and the doctor that you went to, the first doctor you went to, is like, we gotta blow it up. Listen, you're not gonna walk for 2 years. You'd be like, you know what? I'm gonna go get a second opinion. I'm going to go see what somebody else says. And with Rory, it seems like he's been swinging fairly well. Like it's just been a miss here, a miss there. So it's like if you could go see somebody that just gets you from 90% of what you're trying to do to 100 or 98, and it's not your coach, like it's not like he's not working with Michael Bannon.
Right. It sounds like an annual consult. He just does. He goes
the,
and says, like, what do you see? What do you got?
The other thing is that this is not like being married. This is you as a professional golfer can see multiple coaches.
Yeah.
Just because you see Butch once doesn't mean you can't go see somebody else.
I mean, Morikawa has a coach, I think, for every club in the bag. Right? He's got the short game chef or the chipmunk, a putting coach. He's got... No, I like
apparently Victor's numbers aren't good since he left the chipmunk.
Well, yeah. He's not the chip deacon or the chip cleric. He's the chipmunk. He's got it all. He's a sage old coach. Anyways, I don't know. Rory looked good today. He looked jacked today. I was watching a little Texas Open, more than I care to admit, on a Thursday afternoon. He looked ripped. He looked like a burly. He looked huge. His arms. Maybe he was just playing with... I know he was playing with Tommy Fleetwood, who's like... He wears the... you know how everybody does the blade? He's got the Nike Blade collar. He's the only guy in the Nike Blade wearing it for like the baggy fit. Tommy Fleetwood. All time, like probably a world-class athlete. I'm not suggesting, like, all these guys are world-class athletes. It's just Fleetwood is like the Nike Blade, but wearing it with like a baggy fit. Rory looked huge today. He looked ripped, bigger than normal.
That's an underrated storyline. He's becoming a burly boy.
I don't know if the shirt is a size down or tailored a little differently. He looked like a big boy. He played well, played pretty well. Didn't score like Spieth, even though Spieth maybe is playing better by all accounts. But all right, you talked about having to go see the doctor. One thing you don't want to have to go see the doctor for is skin cancer. And one way to protect against that is Oars and Alps. You like that segue? You like that?
Fear advertising.
Golfers are 250% more likely to develop skin cancer. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. You don't want that. 250% more likely. Skin cancer rates have risen 55% among men the past decade. These are consequential numbers. We love Oars and Alps. We love their sunscreen products. I've spoken glowingly in the past about the face stick. Sun's coming out. I got to be ready next. I've barely worn any sunscreen all year. We didn't need it in Ireland, but next week at Masters, I'm going to need it. I love
the
Oars and Alps.
Sunscreen? Can I not pack it? You bring enough for me?
I don't know about it. I think you can bring your own effing sunscreen. Why do I need to bring sunscreen for you? What am I, a sunscreen mule?
See, here's the thing. My wife, she puts all the sunscreen in a certain spot, and I don't know where that spot
is.
And what will happen is I'll say, hey, do you know where the sunscreen is? And she'll be like, well, it's in the sunscreen holder. And then I'll be like, well, where's that?
What's that all
and
about?
Then she'll be frustrated that I don't know. Like, it's like if I don't know where something it's I ask a question and it's always, well, it's here. And then it's like, well, I don't know where there is, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Speaking of Mrs. Friedegg, Oars and Alps passes the Mrs. Friedegg test, which is a rigorous one. She's scanning the labels, making sure. And the whole brand was developed by two women whose husbands were active. And just we're noticing too much junk in whether it's deodorant, moisturizers,
give you an idea,
body washes, all of it. Yeah.
To give you an idea of this test, I had to drive out to the to a 24-hour CVS this week for my daughter. 1 a.m. I'm at the CVS and I am reading the fine print ingredients on the back of these kids yep. things, because I had to find the specific one that didn't have whatever chemical or whatever in it.
Paraben, so, I feel like that's one I see. Paraben free. I don't know what any of them are, but I get that a lot.
But this stuff's good stuff. You know, I've been rocking the body wash lately.
Yeah,
I like it.
Rocking.
I come out of the shower. My wife's like, "You smell good."
Rocking, like you're walking around with it, showing it off. Yeah, no, it's good. I cracked into that as well. There's a diverse suite of products, which we were so happy when they reached out. We're like, we're doing it. We already have this stuff. We got to say testimonial, Nathan Carr, Carr for the Course. I ordered Doors and Alps with the promo code, which is Shotgun15, gets you 15% off. It held up to the scrutiny of an ingredient savvy significant other. This was unsolicited feedback. My wife was skeptical of the exfoliating properties of the soap, but after a thorough Googling, she was convinced, made me appear to be a conscientious consumer. Thanks, SGS.
This is the thing. I don't know anything about these chemicals and stuff. I don't know anything. But when
we don't get
I,
to that part of the ad read.
When I come.
Or the talk.
When I purchase things that she like looks at and is like, oh, this is good. This is good stuff. She is so proud. She
it's a brownie
thinks
point. Yeah.
That I knew what I was doing in the situation. Rare moments where you can surprise your significant other.
OrsonAlps.com/shotgun. The promo code is shotgun15. Go ahead and try to surprise them. Get a win, whether it's sunscreen, moisturizer, whatever it is. I use the face moisturizer. Go for it. There's a ton of stuff they got.
Hey, can I pop back in here? I want to follow up on something. A couple weeks ago, we examined what happened to Sepp Straka, the septic tank, a favorite of ours. Since he left Scares.
Yeah.
I want to look into what Victor's done since the chipmunk is gone.
Yeah.
Or since he let go of the chipmunk.
Yep.
Chipmunk's Joe Mayo, for anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about.
It's going to be several of you. Yeah.
Around the green, 69th in proximity, 136. In scrambling, 159th in sand save percentage, 183rd in strokes gained around the green toe. This is not good. These are the numbers before the chipmunk.
Unbecoming of a reigning FedEx Cup champion.
Did he forget all the technique? Numbers. It's all technique. Like,
well, it's,
or do you think Chipmunk put like a hex on him? He's a monk.
It's mythical. He's a monk. It's a spiritual thing. He takes it when he can't keep it. He comes and goes.
This is bad news going into the majors.
Not good. It's not a good scene. Fortunately, you don't need a chip around Augusta National. It's not really comes
into
play.
You think he's just going to
be joking.
A putter boy?
We watched him chip from the back of six when he was in contention, and we were like, oh, well, that's that. That's done. We'll see. He's not going to win today. I don't know. What did you make? Speaking of chipping, do I think John Rahm's going to play well at the Masters? Sure. I think it's great. He could win, dominate. But I loved Dan Rappaport posted a video of him hitting high spinners off grainy Bermuda at Doral. He goes, high spinners off grainy. I'm like, oh, that's perfect prep. For next week, that's going to come in play next as he's like sucking the ball back 20 feet off of a great. It just didn't seem apropos, but maybe that's a chipmunk technique. Just practice them all the week before, whether you're going to use them or not. Anything else from Valero around the green, off the tee? Akshay Bhatia, this is Sean Martin. He hit 16 greens, made one putt longer than 7 feet. He had one putt, so it wasn't like he bombed in a bunch of 60 footer shots. 63 low round of the day by 3 shots. That's your 18 hole check-in at Valero. Mightily impressive round.
I gotta say, one of the things about Valero, it's always the most fun when somebody gets in that wasn't like the week before. It's always great when you get that guy, and then it like kind of bleeds into Masters. It's like a cool storyline, like how'd you get here, where you stand, like all that stuff. So Akshay would be super fun if he
that would be great,
was able to go like wire to wire or something, win, get in. And not to mention, like, I think it would be great for the tour. It would be another opportunity for maybe a young star to start to blossom.
Totally.
I'm not calling him a star now, a potential star to blossom.
Lastly, from Texas Open, what are some of, like, when you think about your life in professional golf, watching professional golf, monitoring, what do you think about? What are some of the iconic fist pumps? You think about iconic fist pump. When I say that phrase,
I mean, what Tiger, and who right?
comes? Yeah. Anything else? Any others that come to mind? Tiger Woods, maybe David Duval.
I mean, the Brookline, Rory one when him and Reed were going back
the
and
punch
forth.
Downward. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nothing we're that talking, DJ's done.
Again, the qualifier is iconic fist pump. So you probably wouldn't put
nothing
Charlie
Brooks
Hoffman at
done.
The Valero Texas Open in the category.
That was a great one, though. It was a great one. When he won...
Iconic?
When he rammed that putt in or something.
And he did like the one-legged pump. Yeah. Anyways, PGA Tour used the new SSG money to create custom t-shirts to give to everyone on the first tee of his iconic fist pump. Yes.
Why are these visuals. Why are they doing
They've
this
got
for Charlie Hoffman?
All these... Well, this is 500th start, I guess. I think so. I think that's what the occasion was. So everybody's in the green shirt.
He's going to get those like 300 cuts. He's got to be knocking
out. Yeah, man. He's using career money this year. He's going to have 500 starts, something or other next year. He could be a cutthroat corner nominee for the next 5 years. We don't know. Or he just keeps playing well. But yes, everybody in the first tee at Texas in quote unquote iconic fist pump t-shirts. I don't know if they were. They were coerced into wearing these, but everybody looks moderately nonplussed.
How come they don't have this as a stat? Cuts made.
They got to have that. They have that on your overall profile. You're just not looking in the right place.
They used to just have a list that you could go down. I think they're hiding it. They don't want us. They're trying to jam us.
They have. I just found it for Andrew Landry. He put a mild scare into me the first couple hours today. I want him to play well. I would love him to play well.
This is what happens. Barrett went out and birdied like the first couple holes.
Yeah.
This is his 500th start. He's made 341 cuts.
Good player. So great player. Not great. Great career.
He's got the 300 cut exemption in his pocket.
I don't think that's still an exemption. Did they get rid of that?
No, they didn't get rid of it. They never get rid. The day that I die will be the day that the PGA Tour gets rid of exemption. Any exemption.
All right, let's transition off the Texas Open to the Augusta National Women's Amateur.
How about the slow play penalty?
Lottie Woad, just an all-time name. Lottie Woad, your leader at 5-under, an ass-kicker of a day at the Champions Retreat. Gary Player's 9, or whatever 9 they play, was really punching back. It's 2 weeks in a row. DLF put him in a blunder, and then he's putting him in a blunder at Champions Retreat down in Evans or Augusta, wherever it is, near Augusta.
We don't need a rollback. We need more Gary Player courses.
I should be clear. I'm not even sure if Gary Player's 9 is in the rotation. I feel like he would logic complain if it wasn't. Could be the Palmer and Nicholas 9s. I'm not sure. I think Player's 9 is involved. Anyways.
I think I'm going to go into that press conference this year with Gary and
the
Jack.
Thursday morning. Yeah.
That apparently just goes for like 2 hours a lot of times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they got to have just buzzers just when they start to wade into potentially, you know, controversial waters. Just they give them these mics and they just go. Your cut was 3 over, T23. group made it. Of course, they don't do the playoff anymore. But missing the cut, I think notables were, you know, Rachel Heck was a big one. Zoe Campos been playing really well. She missed it. So we had a few, but we got a lot in. Amari Avery
Anna Davis missed the cut. Did you see what happened?
She missed by a shot. Yes. Missed by a shot. Got a slow play penalty. This is 2 years in a row now. She won it 3 years ago. Has now gotten dinged with a penalty two years in a row. This one knocks her off the cut line for slow play. They were apparently 5.5 hour rounds. A windy day. They were on the clock for like 12 holes or something, I believe. A long time. And they give her slow play penalty. Gets popped. A lot of people applauding it. There was some pushback of how it was like just a ridiculous penalty given the conditions, given that she's one of three players.
You know what's ridiculous?
It was sending the wrong message.
You know what's ridiculous?
Yeah.
A round of golf taking 5.5 hours.
I mean, can they just bring the same energy next week? We watched them play twosomes in 5 hours last year on Sunday with Patrick Cantlay and Brooks and Rahm. And it was 5+ hours for twosomes. They had to turn the headlights on the cars on for the trophy ceremony, basically. So bring the same energy next week, right? But yeah, it should be a penalty. They were on the clock forever and she violated the time. I love that it's a former champion. She's someone they... You know, she's in the first row of all the pictures with Chairman Ridley and all that deal. Like, she's like a banner carrier for this event. But, you know, they didn't discriminate. And they gave her the slow play penalty. She misses by a shot. That was a big drama. Also, apparently, some drama with Bailey Shoemaker. Did you see that one? Just some little, you know, hullabaloo going on with that. She got into an argument and scoring with competitors who said she whiffed a 2-inch putt. But she said she backed off her wind. It still followed through, but there was no penalty.
Wow.
So that was one little scoring, you know, kerfuffle there around whiffing a 2-inch putt. And then you have the Anna Davis penalty. That was like sort of the notable thing. The notables from Thursday. But we have our finals,
you know,
final 30.
You know, Shoemaker was a drive chip putt national finalist. Shouldn't ever question somebody that got into the finals of drive, chip, and putt about putting.
I don't have a comeback for that one. I do think there's been some interesting storytelling linking the DCP to now amateur players, but you know, you got to nip it in the bud early. You got to get the pace as much as they can. They can't come into the professional game thinking it's okay to play 5.5 hour rounds of any kind.
Listen,
you got those guys setting a bad example. I agree.
In the professional game, they gotta play slow for the TV windows. They can't finish before the end of the TV window.
Big J's, yeah, big J's. That's
hey,
your.
You know what's great about this? The ANWA.
Yeah, what?
We're starting to develop our, like, you know, it's like when you're watching the NCAA tournament, and you're like, wait, that guy's still playing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's been some of these.
That guy's got to have been played. And it's like, then you look it up and it's like, oh, this guy somehow got a 6 year of eligibility. So Lindblad.
Is there someone jumping off the page?
Ingrid
Lindblad. I mean, she's heavy favorite. She should win. I mean,
she's been in the mix. I feel like she's been in the mix every year of this and hasn't won.
Yes.
She's lurking. She's only four back. I think
lost the cup show by a shot in year one, the annual inaugural one. She might have lost by, you know, in the cup show one.
Yeah.
She has been around forever.
So this event, this is just, you know, maybe this is her time.
She's the favorite.
She's not the favorite still. She's four shots back.
No, right. Understood. Coming into it, playing some of the best golf and has the experience of 6, 7, 8 ANWAs under her belt.
There hasn't been 6 ANWAs.
Probably about 6. No? They took 2
like
off
four,
for the pandemic.
4 or 5.
All right.
You said that yesterday, the last episode. It was like 8 ANWAs.
Kupcho, Zane, Kajetani, Anna Davis. That's four.
There's been,
who else?
This is the fifth one.
Okay.
Rose.
So I just named all four?
Yeah. Rose, Anna Davis. That? Yeah. There you go.
Cup show and catch, Donnie. All right. Well, that's it. Then four. Fine. Limbad may have played in all of them. That's your ANWA update. Hey, we got a new sponsor coming in here. No easy segue. I'm not going to tell you about seeing the doctor for cancer on this one. We got a new sponsor.
I got something for this one.
Bushnell. So, no, we're sponsored
let me,
by
let
what?
Me, you ruined my intro.
You were just. Okay,
I got an intro.
You weren't signaling you had something there. Okay. Could be anything here.
It's not. It might not be Bushnell. All right. You know how I figure out which way the wind's blowing?
Throw up some blades of grass. No. What do?
I learned this incredible trick. This incredible way to judge the wind. It's based off of how sailors know which way the wind's blowing.
Sure.
You know that they turn their head, and when you feel exactly between two ears,
yeah,
which way the wind's blowing, it, like when you feel it identical, you know the exact direction that the wind's blowing. So sometimes when I used to play tournaments, I'd be in the fairway like...
You had to look like such an idiot.
Exactly. I looked like a moron. Now, one of the great things, Bushnell, our new partner, they got a quite the innovation. They've got a wind... You got...
The Golf Pro X3 Plus. Did I lose you? Did my Wi-Fi go out right as we're about to announce the win? I was going to say that ear technique wouldn't work for me because I'm deaf and near one ear. Like everything's blocked up on one side. I can't sense anything, feel or hear. But so I could go to my Bushnell Pro X3 Plus. The wind speed and direction is shown in display. You connect the Pro X3 Plus to the Bushnell Golf mobile app. Calibrate the unit, and you get up-to-date wind data based on where you are. This, of course,
you don't have to stand there with weighing your ears. You could just you could just use a rangefinder. Unbelievable!
It's trusted by 98.6% Bushnell of PGA Tour players. I need to find that other 1.4. I need to understand what's going on there. Those must be the guys on Cutthroat Corner. Quite honestly, if they're not using that 1.4, taking it to Bushnell. But tour performance, they have locking slope switch. You can judge the wind. Dual display allows users the ability to easily toggle between red or black display settings. Oh, I like that. Red or black, an aesthetic preference. You have Pin Seeker with a visual jolt. You go to bushnellgolf.com. That's not bushnell.com. It's bushnellgolf.com. You learn more about the new Pro X3 Plus. Thanks to them for jumping on here to support and maybe not, having you from twisting around, turning your head to and fro like a doofus in the middle of the fairway. All right, let's keep moving on. We've done ANWA. We've done Valero Texas Open. I don't think we need to check in anymore with any other golf. There's a lot of LIV quotes coming out of LIV. A lot of quotes. I thought Anthony Kim today, or I think it was today, was fabulous. He spoke, according to Ewan Murray, a proper journalist from across the pond, who was down in Miami probably before he goes to the Masters, said it was a remarkable 38-minute session. I've read through the transcript, got a few of the clips, some good questions, including from Ewan. Like, we haven't gotten a lot from Kim, right? He's just sort of been, he was in Jeddah. There wasn't anyone there asking him anything. There was kind of these weirdly produced live videos. There just wasn't a lot. This was like a proper Q&A. Big ups to him and, the media people there setting it up and putting them through it. And it sounds like it was like truly endearing. I read through it. Amazing. Some amazing quotes. Still light on specifics. I think, the mind can fill in the gaps.
Probably
on some of it.
A lot of times want to be light in some of these areas.
Some of it's saved for the documentary, apparently, that's coming out. When doctors are telling you that you may not have much time to left, that's a pretty rude awakening. They were talking about how he kind of came out of it. I still think about it to this day when I'm out there and I get frustrated with my golf, how far I've come. I got to a point where I may not be here speaking to you guys. Doctors talking to you may not have much time left. I don't blame anybody but myself for the issues that I've had. With that being said, I was thrown into a situation because I had some success in golf that gave me different opportunities than a normal 23 or 24-year-old, and I took advantage of that. Still, he blames himself. Once you get going down that slippery slope, it's hard to make your way back, and I just kept going downhill. Somehow, I've made it through. I'm sitting here in front of you just feeling really honored and blessed to be here because there's a lot of reasons I shouldn't be here right now. It was incredibly amusing. He apparently... just ignorance could be bliss. Had no clue that Brooks Koepka had won back-to-back majors. Had watched zero golf. Didn't know really that Tiger had won the 2019 Masters. Maybe because it was an underwhelming Sunday. Didn't tune
probably.
In. But turned the TV off halfway through. Because
it was on in the morning and he saw it taped earlier. He thought it was Saturday.
Interesting. He was like, I was in my life. I really wasn't focused on golf. Amazing. He's talking to DJ. He didn't know Brooks. He's like, oh, Brooks won back-to-back majors? Didn't know anything about that. Where I was in my life, I wasn't really focused on golf. I definitely heard, this is about the 2019 Masters, I definitely heard that it happened. But I mean, you know, going through some of the things I've gone through in my life, I wasn't focused on golf. I didn't care about somebody who won a golf tournament. There's so many other big issues going on in the world that golf is such a small part of it. And obviously for all of us, it gives us a great platform to be able to speak to a large group of people. But at the same time, it's just golf. I found this to be kind of a refreshing quote. Were the reasons he had no idea what was going on in golf necessarily pure? No. But you put it side by side with Bryson, who's suggesting he's going to grow the game from 100 million to 150 million golfers. That's his goal. Or some of these guys who are mad that they're playing for only $2 million, or some of these guys who are mad that they're not getting, you know, $300 million signing bonus, and now they want this portion of equity. It's an interesting quote to run contra to some of that. There you have, and maybe not the one Liv wants to communicate, as they want to be a global force for good and this, that, and the other. But he's like, nobody gives a shit about this. It's just golf. I don't care. I didn't even know who won the 2019 Masters. So it's a pretty unvarnished message coming from someone that, you know, for a lot of times at the least live press conferences, it was talking points, right? It was a lot of mumbo jumbo. And you have AK just sitting up there and, you know, credit to like live in a way, just letting him go. And what they got was like what felt like a good bit of honesty. And maybe it's not on message about all the good in the world that golf can do, or maybe it's minimizing golf and putting it as a peripheral sort of game, ball and stick game that no one should, you know, it's not as important to a lot of people based on where they are in their life. But it was an interesting message nonetheless. And last but not least, a great one about all he's missed. Brooks, many majors, they ask him, now, you know, the game has changed so much. This was the last quote in 38 minutes, just went off with a walk-off homer. I thought that when I first got to the tour with titanium drivers, but now it's come to a point where you don't have to hit a ball in the center and you can get some amount of yardage and accuracy as somebody who does get the same amount of yardage and accuracy as somebody who does hit it in the center. Obviously, not being a huge guy, my advantage was being able to hit the ball in the middle of the face and being in the fairway. But now everyone's hitting it long. Everyone is hitting it semi-straight. So it ends up becoming a bomber's putting contest. And I'm not the longest guy out here, but using the right technology, I'm hitting it a little bit further, means farther, and hopefully I'll make a couple putts this week. Incredible testimony. Amazing. But now it's come to a point where you don't have to hit the ball in the center and you can get the same amount of yardage and accuracy as someone who doesn't.
Well, I think this is also just an indictment of where golf's gone, and in the sense of everybody's wondering, like, what's going on with the PGA Tour? Why are we having all these fluky winners? Well, it's like, oh, you know what? Like, it doesn't matter where you hit the ball on the face of a driver anymore. So
skill has been minimized. Talent's been sort of
every year the game is allowing the equipment manufacturers to reduce the skill in the game. And it sucks. It's just like this is ridiculous that somebody like, I mean, it's actually
incredible
amazing.
Perspective.
It's amazing because over the whole interview, he clearly shows that he has not done any sort of golf activities. This is like somebody getting in a time machine and going forward and being like, wait, what's this driver?
He's like, I had a titanium driver when I came out. It's incredible. Incredible. And I love that he was put up there and just allowed to speak and he took the questions. And this is like yet another smoking gun. And there's been decades of these. It's not, you know, the biggest or best one, but it's pretty powerful testimony right on the heels of Bryson's video, unintentional video about heel shots going too far one way. Speaking of Bryson, he had some quotes. He got pilloried for them. We're now 2 days removed. Phil had quotes, a lot of quotes about bringing the game back together. Bryson said it needs to happen fast. It's not a 2-year thing. Like, it needs to happen quicker rather than later, just for the good of the sport. Too many people are losing interest. There's multiple ways you can solve the problem. From a player's perspective, it has to come together for the fans, number one. We can't keep going this direction. We have to figure it out. It's not sustainable. We all respect and recognize what's best for the fans in the game of golf. We want to keep playing. The only answer is for us to somehow come together in some sort of terms would make sense. It's great to have the majors, but we need more than that. So I don't need to read the whole quote. He got crushed for it. And quite honestly, deservedly so. I went nutso on Charles Howell III in a podcast probably about November of last year. He said, like, oh, we got to bring the game together. Like, you guys can't light the house on fire and then walk out and says, like, you know, who did this? We got to get this fire out. You did this. You did this. You broke it up. You cannot. That's fine. Like, we won't even get into, like, litigating that. But you cannot make pleas about how it's unsustainable, how the game is fractured. You can't do that. You fractured the game. You have the right to do and say a lot of things, but like that argument is invalid from you. You set the house on fire. Phil sort of couched his in more business speak about how this is a period of disruption and transition. But he's putting his trust in Yasser that it will all come back together.
I think Bryson should be able to say, you know, like the problem with Bryson, he's saying the right thing. The game does need to come back together.
Yeah. Yes.
Now he should have been like, well, I might have had a part in fracturing the game. You know, the problem is these guys act like they aren't part of the problem.
I do think not to like, fluff Rory or Malnati or anybody, but like there is an element of honor in flip-flopping. If you want to you don't have to call it flip-flop. I think it's a little bit more benevolent term, but in being conciliatory in something that maybe I didn't have the fully right position, or maybe like hard line, this is what I thought then, this is what I think now, this is what I think is best. There is an evolution of thought in a way that's admirable. And I think that's not to say it's only the PGA Tour guys doing it. I think LIV guys have and will, Brooks being one. But Bryson, there just has to be some conciliatory aspect of what he's talking about. Rahm also said, I agree with Rory, essentially Rory's point that the game needs to come together. I think there's room for both. That's where I would quibble. It doesn't seem... There's not room for two golf leagues with all the best players in two disparate places. Maybe there's room for like a team golf element, or maybe there's room for, you know, a world tour, but there's not room for two leagues that are going to draw notable interest. So that's where I would disagree with Rahm's point. So A lot of quotes. That's your quote roundup. Not the best quote from the week, though. The best quote, we got a late submission from our guy. And you're going to have to guess who this is. All right. Late submission from the Valero Texas Open. So that limits it. It's not a live player. Here we go. Right. Quote roundup, Friday sign off here. Let's get to it.
I don't know if I'm the hunted at all. I'm still a quote-unquote mule out here as compared to other guys. But I don't know if I'm the hunted.
How about a self-appointed quote-unquote mule out here? Can we guess who that might be? Amazing. So
they had to have played well, right?
You got it. Your deduction powers are coming together.
It wasn't Brendan Todd.
Quote unquote, not Todd Watch. No,
because there wasn't a thick enough accent in it.
Todd's a legit star, by the way, not a mule.
I mean, I'm trying to think about who got a. Is it Justin Lauer?
Yes, it is
amazing. Amazing. It made sense that he's 6 under. It wasn't Akshay. It wasn't. Beat right. Todd. I don't think Austin Eckler would call himself
quote,
a mule.
Unquote mule. Just sort of, he's a fried egg event winner. He won a fried egg golf event. You
That's
can't
right.
be a mule once you walk off with low gross at a fried egg golf event. The gold jacket and Canton. He's just riding high. The Guardians are 4-6-2 or whatever they are. He's riding high. Cleveland zone. He's calling himself a mule. Sort of self-deprecation that we love on this podcast.
He won the gold jacket the shooter couldn't win.
That's right. That's right. So I don't think you can be a mule after that. It's now on his Wikipedia page. I believe some enterprising shotgunner threw it on there. Do we have anything else you want to throw in, cram into this Friday episode? We have golf advice we'll have to run back a different time. Still haven't gotten New York Golf Club. Xander talking about his grit and love of New Yorkers. We'll get to that another time.
Maybe Sunday.
There's too much happening. You know, we started this podcast. We said there's not going to be enough to talk about. There's too much going on. Too many people talking. Too much happening. Too much caddy changes.
Next time we'll record, we'll be in Augusta. Not in Augusta National. In Augusta.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. It's going to be a great week. We're going to be at the... Good Walk Coffee House, Dratty House with our Good Walk Coffee loaded up. We're going to be back at the Dratty House. We're all fired up. So we got a full
Sounds
six,
like
seven.
Gonna, we might be getting a fancy coffee machine delivered. We're going to have like a real coffee setup.
I mean, are we going to be able to use
we're
it?
Gonna,
it's a separate
we're
going to
have Dratty gear. You know, we're going to be living life.
Yeah, we're doing all right. We got.
I'm gonna be checking the wind with my Bushnell.
I was gonna make that joke. We've got 6 or 7 podcasts, or whatever it is, together coming up. The next one will be in person. I need to talk to you Sunday night. We need to talk about this eclipse. I need to talk to you more about this eclipse. I'm not happy about the eclipse hype that's going on right now. That'll be Sunday. We will talk to you both, or talk to you from Augusta, both of us in person. See you then.